Welcome to the game.
It's a beautiful thing.
With Mark Duffield.
By golly gosh.
The son of a darkened shearer and a self-described ball-playing jack-of-all-trades.
We shouldn't be surprised, should we?
Who lit up footy fields in the southwest before becoming WA's preeminent AFL scribe.
My goodness.
And Glenn Quarterman.
Wow-wee.
A proud Victorian parked permanently in the west who would have played 300 AFL games if not for his incredibly small hands.
Goodness gracious me.
Together, they are Duff and Quarters.
You know who.
And this is your favourite footy podcast.
It's unbelievable.
Hello, everybody. Thursday, which means it's time for the second edition this week of the Duff and Quarters podcast. In the studio, we have Josh Garlop, producer and sound effects man extraordinaire. Golden Tonsils Reddings is here. Small Hands Quartermain is here. Son of a darkened shearer, Mark Duffield, is here. All right, boys, we're going to try and tip some winners, but there's a bit going on in the AFL. Shea Bolton has re-signed with Richmond, which we probably expected. There are more COVID cases in Melbourne, which we were hoping wouldn't happen. And as far as we know so far, despite the COVID positive test in Perth, we are okay so far, as far as we know. So
yes, and on a personal note, to be honest with you, I was in one of those venues the day before. The gentleman was actually the Channel 7 Sundowner last Friday. And so, yes,
at Subi?
At the Subi Hotel? Yeah, so you can be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and thankfully that wasn't the case for me. But you're right, in terms of the overall picture for footy, the Victorian setup now leaves us with a big question mark as to what's going to happen with them.
So lots to talk about today. We're brought to you by Tab Touch. You can get closer to the AFL action with Tab Touch. Please gamble responsibly. Please call Gambler's Help on 1-800-858-858. Quarters, what's caught your eye over the last few days? Apart from the Olympics, I know you've
I've been living in the Olympics village. What's caught my eye in the AFL over the last few days?
Yes.
I think it'll be interesting to see how the Tex Walker situation pans out in Adelaide. Obviously, they've got a very big showdown this weekend, which I expect Port to win. But Tex was this has been bubbling along for the best part of a week, and he's allegedly used some racism-tinged words at the Crows reserves game. It's an investigation taking place. We believe he's fronting the media today. Caused a bit of controversy in Adelaide. Stephen Rowe, ex-West Aussie boy who works on 5AA, he's launched on the media, suggesting they shouldn't have reported it. Well, I've got a lot of time for Steve, but that's absolute nonsense. It's not our job not to report that. It's under investigation, so absolutely we should report that. I think what he's referring to is the agreement at the AFL, which I think is the peak legislation, which is it's private between the player and the organisation.
That's for stuff in game mainly, isn't it?
But it's got nothing to do with, it's our duty to report that.
We can't be picking and choosing what we do.
No, if you report it straight, it's under investigation and see how it pans out, nothing wrong with
it. So just to clarify, so Tex Walker is alleged to have said something in a huddle.
I think he said it to one of the Crows reserves players about his opponent who is Indigenous.
Okay.
This is the allegation.
Okay.
All right, that will be a moving feast. So
that's huge in Adelaide. That's the reason I bring it up. It's massive over there right now.
It's huge in any week.
Yeah, it is.
It's magnified in showdown week.
Yeah, it sure is. So that's what's caught my eye. And obviously we wish all our friends in New South Wales the best, because it continues to be dire, that situation. We wish our friends in Queensland the best, some worrying numbers there, and also in Victoria, as we've discovered. Look, take care, all our friends over there.
It's getting – I mean, we're still a couple of weeks away from the AFL having to really bite the bullet with the final series and the grand final. But we're getting in that window, aren't we?
We're getting close. So tantalisingly close to finishing this season.
Given the way they're playing this season, do they have to nominate a grand final venue, or is this just going to be, we'll play it where we can play it?
I don't think they can nominate one at this point.
Well, that's what I think.
I think what you can certainly make your avenues open and available. So you inquire, okay, is Optus Stadium available? I'm sure they've done that. They've done their due diligence, and it's just going to have to be where it is.
Behind the scenes, they would certainly have been making those calls and trying to find somehow to make a grand final interstate work, if possible. Obviously, the Melbourne setup with the contract is their one wood at the moment, and they'll continue down that path as long as possible. My question is, do you enter a final series without knowing where the grand final is?
Well, you might have to in this instance.
I think you're going to have to. I think we've got a scenario this year. Well, like last year, we were mapping out fixtures 3, 4, 5 weeks in advance. We're doing fixtures a week in advance now, and they're looking at what can be done. I just think it's going to be that type of year. And look, what WA proved with Dreamtime in Perth is that you can do a big game like that off a week's notice. I've got no doubt that the AFL knows, and I don't think we're on the front line of betting at all, but I've got no doubt that the AFL knows that if it comes to 7 days before a grand final in Perth, they ring up and say, you're the only place we can play it. They'll play the game in front of 60,000 people.
Yeah, when you're saying I'm not on the front line of betting, obviously the MCG remains favourite because that's – but surely Perth is the standout.
I think Adelaide is also
– on what basis?
Well, it's available.
They would argue that their stadium is – it's not quite
it's inferior.
No, it's not far.
It's inferior.
I'll tell you what, it's a better stadium than the Gabba.
That's not hard.
I think it would be okay to have the grand final at Adelaide.
I think we're a couple of lengths ahead of South Australia. If our government and if the authorities,
maybe a furlong.
But you're talking about the stadium. I think the border arrangements are going to be the decisive.
Of course, they will be. And by the way, we talk about this year a week. We're talking this year a day. In some cases, they've been switching venues. So they've certainly had to be very swift on their feet. The AFL, they've done a great job so far.
Flexible and agile.
They have done a great.
It's extraordinary. Travis Old, once again, came into this job thinking he was going to just pick out some 6 day breaks for some of the blockbusters. Poor bloke's been absolutely smashed.
By the way, I don't think you enter the AFL fixture job ever thinking it's going to be an easy job, even in the best of times.
Comparative to this, it was a dream.
Comparative, yeah.
Yes, I think particularly when you've got two clubs over here who keep on pointing out where they are on the map when you give them 6 day breaks trans nullarbor trips.
I think if you're using an Olympic analogy, it's degree of difficulty 11.8, I think, at the moment.
I do believe that Trevor Nisbet did send them a map of Australia once and pointed out, you are over there. We are over here. Yeah. Please bear this in mind. Perhaps in more blunt language than that.
Hello. We're over here.
It does take a bit to sink in, but yeah.
You need the wind behind you for the voice to be heard, don't you? It seems to be a strong gust too.
Well, the wind's usually going that way. That's why it only takes 3 hours to fly over and 4 hours to fly back. But certainly that does count in our favour. But there are times when you wonder whether they looked at the map before they did the fixtures for our clubs. All right, Shea Bolton re-signs with Richmond. Now, Skeet, I remember you saying a couple of months ago that if Adam Chera were to leave and choose Richmond as his destination, the sugar hit for Fremantle fans would be Adam Chera for Shea Bolton. Well, clearly that's no longer an option.
No, and I think that's been known for a fair while now that his managers and even Brendan Gale said about a month ago that they're pretty comfortable that
who's Shea Bolton's manager?
Ralph Carr, I think.
Ralph Carr, okay. And
Dusty Martin fame.
Well, and also very smart management because 2 year deal, Shea?
Unaware of that.
Yeah, I think it's 2 years, $600,000.
So he's taking unders.
When he comes out of contract, Dusty Martin comes out of contract. So watch this space.
But 600.
If he continues along his pathway, that's a great wage. But when Dusty Martin comes out of contract, I'm suggesting that perhaps he may look for other pastures.
I'm suggesting he could have got more money elsewhere at the moment.
But he wants to remain where he is. He's happy. In 2 years' time, it might be payday.
I think also the manager did try and create the impression that there would be $800,000 or $900,000 on offer for Shea Bolton, and I don't think there ever was. In fact, I believe a couple of clubs actually rang Richmond and said, "We're hearing this scuttlebutt that we are offering this. You can take it from us. We are not offering that for Shea Bolton." And the other thing about Shea Bolton is that Shea Bolton's form over the last 4 weeks not great, and actually got taken to school by Hayden Young on Sunday in Fremantle's great win. So he's got a bit of work to do. There's a lot of promise there, but he's not quite all Australian A-grade material just yet.
He's had a pretty good couple of years. If he's had a lean month, we can probably forgive him for that.
I tell you, it was impressive just going that base. Sydney Stack, I thought, was good.
He's a hell of a player.
He can play. And there's an upside there. I'm not sure where he is in.
Well, he's off the kebabs now, so that's the main thing.
I tell you what, he's off the kebabs and playing in defence, and Rioli was doing the same thing. But, goes back to off the market goes Bolton, and we're still waiting on Chera. We're trying to work out, if he does go, what Fremantle can conjure in return. It's
going to be fascinating.
Let's say if he goes to Richmond, and Richmond is likely to have two picks somewhere between 10 and 20.
Well, they can manufacture a earlier pick than that.
That's what, if I'm Fremantle, that's what I'm saying. You're going to have to turn them into something inside the top five, and then we can talk. That's what I would be doing if I was Freo.
Yep.
Which is what they should have done with Lachie Neale. They should have held the top 10 pick and taken one of the best kids in Australia.
Well, and justifiably so, because he's an early pick and he's proven so, and his form's only going in an upward fashion. So,
well, he's probably had the two best games of his career in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, under a bit of pressure too, external pressure.
Yeah, it's
a lot
quite,
of noise.
Quite impressive.
Yeah, absolutely.
What he's been able to do the last 2 weeks. All right, so let's see if we can tip a couple of winners, boys.
I haven't put my tips in yet, so I'm doing this on the run here.
Well,
but
I had a bit of a look just earlier. I've been holding off. Normally, I'm a bit of an early tipster. I normally put my tips in on a Wednesday, but I'm not one who waits for the injuries and what have you. But today, this week, I have.
I'm the same as you, Quarters. I think the more time you spend on this, the more chance you are of having severe regret when you go back on what your first thought was. When
buyer's tipping, regret, yes.
I think when you're tipping, your first thought is usually your best thought.
It is.
All right. Friday, Geelong versus GWS at GMHBA Stadium with Tab Touch. Geelong is $1.13 and GWS is $6.25.
Now, Jeremy Cameron, despite the fact he's training, so they're going to keep him on ice or in cotton wool for as long as they need to.
I'll have him nice and cherry ripe, I reckon, for the month that counts.
Nice and cherry ripe.
Nice and cherry ripe. Very good. Good headline. Waiting to be written, that one.
Yes, I know.
But I'm certainly picking Geelong in this one. Always like GWS in a contest, but I think Geelong's building beautifully towards a September tilt, and I can't go past them at home either.
Are they a bit overs and $6.25, the Giants?
Well, yes. they're not as bad as that, are they? I mean, they've been
competitive. I think it's the venue.
The venue, they've got the last three at GMHBA Stadium, the Cats, so it's just working out nicely for them.
I'm glad I stayed on the bandwagon all through.
Well, yeah, no, and to be honest, I think they're the team to beat by by my measure on what I've seen. I know you're bullish on the Bulldogs, but I still think just something about Chris Scott, I just feel he's got this squad just working along beautifully, ticking along, and they'll beat the Giants
at home.
Don't
write off the D's just yet either, I reckon. They're just there hovering.
Yeah. The question mark in September with them is still
and
to be answered.
And the forward line, I think. Yeah.
True.
But anyway.
Geelong to be winning.
Geelong for me too. Carlton versus Gold Coast. It is on Saturday. It's the early Saturday game. Carlton is $1.27. Gold Coast is $3.85.
Now, I'm picking Carlton, so we know what's going to happen. But God, this is the thing about Gold Coast. We've said it many times. The gap between their best and their worst is so big. And we saw it last week, didn't we? So you have no faith in, as much as you have little confidence in Carlton to sort of back up again and again and again, I have no faith in Gold Coast.
Yeah, and Melbourne, they won, I think, by 98. They could have won by over 100. The goal kicking was all over the shop. And it wasn't that long ago that we were just praising, I think it was a Thursday night game where the Gold Coast beat Richmond. And you know, the Tigers are nowhere near what they were. But we thought that is the breakout game for this young group to take them to a next level. They don't have to be winning every week, but a more consistent effort. And last Sunday, I think it was last weekend, against Melbourne,
It was terrible. Size of the defeats that really worry me about this group. They've got a seriously 49 players on that list, and they've got very few assistant coaches. So obviously that's an issue for them that they have to address.
They're not paying the full soft cap. Mm. And given that other clubs are complaining about not being able to provide properly service their list on the soft cap that's provided, the fact that they're not paying the full soft cap, That's a major worry for the AFL. I know the AFL is hemorrhaging money, and the AFL basically funds this club. But I think the lesson that should have been learnt with underfunded clubs early in their existence, like Fremantle, is that if you don't invest, you basically create a recipe for failure.
You got to develop. And young lists need to be developed.
And Mark Evans said during the week he's standing by Stuart Chew as much as you can publicly at the moment. But there's a bit of talk that Michael Voss, could he go back there? And
Clarko.
Well, again,
I don't think he'll go there, but they are after him big time. I don't think he would go to the Gold Coast. I don't think he wants to leave Victoria. But don't make no mistake, and there's the Mark Evans connection as well.
They'll ask the question, but I'd be very surprised if he does that, given what he's...
They've had a bit of a journey together, Mark Evans and Alistair Clarkson, so just remember that.
Yeah. And look, the Gold Coast, there's so many problems. I know you said Clarko will fix it like that. I just think it's run so deeply.
I didn't say fix it like that.
Well, you said he'd fix the culture.
He'd go a long way to retaining a lot of the players on the list, and I think he would walk in and change a lot about that club that would be for the better.
Mm. Yeah, well, I guess they thought the same when Mick Malthouse went to Carlton.
Mm. I think Mick was a little bit older. Clarko's still a relatively young man.
To relative to us.
Yeah. Well, not that relative.
Yeah. I put Carlton down selecting them, and they hurt me, Carlton. But the Gold Coast I saw last week were just so bad, it's not funny.
So you hope for the sake of the competition that we see some sort of response from Gold Coast. I hope for the sake of Skeet's sanity that it's not that much of a response that they tip Carlton over.
No, well, listen to Mark Evans on this interview. He mentioned that, I know every team go through it, but the boys, the Gold Coast boys, having flown back
to Denver,
it was, and there was a lot of restrictions.
They're not the Lone Ranger there, though.
No, I didn't say that, but they had a few hurdles to overcome to play that game last week. Mind you, Melbourne flew up and back in the space of 24 hours. So, I'm not sure that flies, but, the Gold Coast, they just are disappointing year after year.
All right, so we're all tipping Carlton in that one, Skeet. I cross my fingers for your sake, because you are getting very bothered about Carlton's cruelty to you and your tipping. Richmond versus North Melbourne, Saturday afternoon. Richmond are $1.44, North Melbourne $2.80 with Tab Touch. Richmond are coming off a six-day break, back off a hard trip from Perth. North Melbourne have been pretty competitive, boys.
They have, and if it was in Hobart, I would be seriously considering it. But I'm going to tip Richmond to bounce back this week. I still think they'll make the eight.
They've lost, I think, seven of their past eight games.
I know.
We just keep piling on, don't we?
We keep thinking, it's going to turn. It's going to turn. We know it's not turning, but against a team like North, maybe they've got enough class to surely win games like this. But I tell you what, they are very vulnerable, I think, in this game.
It feels like 2 months ago we declared Richmond couldn't win the flag, but we still think they can make the eight.
I still think they can make the eight and cause some trouble, but I just think it's way too far back for them.
And we keep tipping them. Now. We keep tipping them irrespective.
Well, that's what happens when you've got the rep, mate.
Yeah,
that's
it's in the back of your mind. You think, if I tip against Richmond, this goes 3 or 4 years, it's just scarring. I'll give North a chance, as you said, Duff. I just think they've been very competitive. The Geelong game up to their ears in that match.
And they've done well, minus Cunnington too.
Yes.
And we certainly hope he's going okay, and we wish him the best. But they have done – I thought they'd drop away a bit without him. He's their talisman. He is their spiritual leader. They haven't had him for a couple of weeks now, but they've still going in a nice trajectory.
Yeah, and the skills of Richmond last week,
they were awful.
They were terrible. Dion Prester was the bright shining light for me coming back from injury. I thought he was terrific in the midfield. Sydney Stack. But yeah, they're just going. Is that enough to get across North Melbourne? Probably.
See what, their forward line was average last week, Richmond. And I'm not saying that Fremantle, they did a good job. Ryan and Griffin Logue last week, very good job. But
all year.
They look lethargic to me, Richmond, in that forward line.
Inside 50 is going to Lynch. The numbers are very poor in terms of getting a result, a score when they kick to him. We keep thinking of the Revolt Lynch double banger, but their goal power's been very much drying up this year.
Jack looks like he's channeled Richo. He's got that crack of the sads about him at the moment.
Well, he always had a little bit of that.
But he looks like he's got a lot.
He's not Mr. Brightside.
Remember, Richo used to look like it was a Shakespearean tragedy every time he played.
Yeah, no, Richo had the worst body language in the history of footy.
It was great, though, wasn't it?
It was a sensational play.
And he fully admits to it. We're tipping Richmond?
Yeah.
I'm
tipping the Tigers.
Yes. All those games, incidentally, have impact on the top eight.
Mm.
Obviously, all those teams, GWS, Carlton and Richmond, amongst the group fighting for eighth spot. All right, the showdown, Adelaide versus Port Adelaide. Adelaide, $5.25 with Tab Touch. Port Adelaide, $1.15. And the Taylor Walker stuff lurking in the background will just add a little bit of spice to this.
I think they're a bit short, Adelaide. I think they're way too short. I wouldn't take anything below 10s at the moment. So I think Port will smash them this weekend.
Yeah, I would have thought there's a margin here. Port Adelaide, look, there's still a question mark against the best sides in the comp, but against also rounds like Adelaide, they could really inflict some damage. And look, their form has been pretty good. I watched the Giants game on the at Optus Stadium last week on the screen, and they were pretty good. I reckon they've just regained a bit of their mojo, having some quality players back
absolutely.
In the side.
And you know what? They're on track to be in the top four. Yep. You get top four, anything's possible. You just have to play well at the right time.
Butters, Dersma, back playing. Is Tommy Cleary back playing now? I'm not sure whether he's back yet or not.
No, not sure about him, but you're right. Some of those young players, when Robbie Gray is still getting closer and add him to the mix, he's pretty important.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure they're good enough to go deep in September now, but they, as they finish top four, you get two looks at it.
If they do go deep in September, I really want Robbie Gray to be a part of it because he's given so much for that footy club.
Yeah, he's been a super player. One of the players you really enjoy watching, Robbie Gray, isn't he? Yeah. Because in any given moment in a game, Robbie Gray can do something that you think, how on earth did he do that?
Like Toby Green. At least he's got one of those blokes you don't want to look away from.
Yeah, without the propensity to dong people behind the play. All right, St Kilda versus Sydney. It is Saturday evening. St Kilda at $2.95, Sydney at $1.40. This is probably last roll of the dice for the Saints, boys.
It is, and I just can't not pick Sydney here. I love the way they've gone about it this year. We thought they'd fade off after that really promising start. They haven't. They've hung in there, building a really nice nucleus of that side now. I'm picking the Swans.
Outside of Melbourne, this team has been the surprise packet in terms of what they've done consistently all year. And they've had as many challenges as anyone on the road. I think they've just been reunited with their families maybe in the last couple of days. But they've been terrific, and John Longmire has just done a wonderful job, just a great teacher of young men, and you can tell they're on the same page. Sydney Swans for me, and I think if there's one team you don't want to play in the top four that's currently out there, that the team that you think, gee, they could give you some cheek in September once they get a chance.
Don Pike done a fair job there too.
Fantastic.
Great ball movement. Obviously that's what Pikey is renowned for, certainly doing his chances no harm at Collingwood. I'm told he's very much on the front line of betting there.
With Brad Scott still, maybe a bit of Clarko.
Brad Scott, and we don't know about Clarko because we don't really know whether Clarko's going to be
available.
I think
Brad Scott's still the front runner for the AFL post.
Yep. I think Clarko, if you're framing a market of any club next year, it's Carlton. Carlton's the only club that I think probably is the most likely, but if David Teague keeps getting the boys to win, then the argument becomes a bit more viable.
All right. Well, we're all on Sydney in that one. Does that put an end to St Kilda, we think?
Yeah.
Yep.
They don't deserve to be there.
No,
I agree. All right, let's take a break and let's move on to the Biggie Juice juicy topic of the week, brought to you by Thirsty Camel Bottle Shops.
It's all good, baby. It was all a dream.
Juicy topic of the week.
So, boys, Daniel Venables, the West Coast Premiership player, announced his retirement from footy this week. He basically hasn't played for 2 years after a horrendous head knock against Melbourne at Optus Stadium in 2019. Our colleague Craig O'Donoghue is writing a piece about, is it no longer fair and reasonable to ask players to run with the flight of the ball, and in fact, should we be actively discouraging it as opposed to, we've kind of adopted a neutral position on it where we don't so much bag people who don't do it anymore, but we still regard it as heroic when someone does do it. Is it time to tell players to stop doing it?
Yes, I think in the media we have. I'm not sure if the fan base has. So that's where the education has to be for supporters to twig that, you know, when it's your time to go, you don't necessarily have to go because we're learning so much about concussion now. And we look at, there's been a few incidents this year, I think Griffin Logan, Aaron Norton. You look at the journey over the years, there have been some horrific ones. So,
Tom Dodé.
Yeah, look, I just interviewed Bo Waters for the Hardball Gets AFL show, and he talked about his courage that he showed over so many years. I don't think you can, I can ask players not to run back with a flight and put their body on the line, but if you told Brett Heady or players going back, you cannot go back and try and affect a contest. I think it's their natural instinct. Now, I agree that the ramifications are enormous, but I don't know how you can legislate or even...
I don't think you legislate. I think you coach. And
educate.
But it's instinctive, isn't it? You can coach as much as you want, but the ball's going back. We've all our lives, we've all gone back with a flight and thought, do you, don't you? And a lot of us pulled out and some went through. I think it's a lot of it's instinctive, is it not?
It is, but I think, as I keep saying, education is the key, and Duff's right, coaching. I think once a few players do it and they're not pilloried for it, it will be okay. I think we just need to get to that point.
And when coaches say to the player, that was a mistake, not basically, oh, wow, that was really
so brave. You would say Griffin Logue's action was a mistake?
I would say Griffin Logue's
okay, was a so let me be the devil's advocate here.
That's nothing against Griffin Logue, by the way. He was a very courageous act. He's a terrific player.
See, I would argue Tom Dodé was a mistake too.
Yes, but do you argue the same when Jack Riewoldt takes the mark going back with the flight?
It's a really, really good call, mate. We want to see that.
That's what I'm saying. So it's easy to say don't, but if he takes the mark, we laud it, we say it's mark of the year potentially, and then you've got the other argument.
It's a really fair point.
It's a 360-degree game, which is the challenging thing about and it's the best part of our game too. Mm. The contact can be coming from anywhere. So the players that excel in our game have amazing peripheral vision and amazing awareness. But every now and again, a player in that situation does not have the awareness and puts themselves in harm's way. And we need to be clear about it. It is in harm's way. I still wince when I even think about that Venables collision.
That was horrific.
And you look, to my knowledge, this is the first time an AFL medical board has effectively ruled a player unable to play. So it's a landmark case. Is there anything else that in recent times that I'm missing?
No, it is a landmark case. And, you know, you can almost see, obviously, Dan Venables is not a quitter. You could see there was almost relief that the decision was taken out of his hands. And I'm glad it was. I'm glad it was because clearly he needs to live the rest of his life in the best way imaginable, and that's not going to happen in a collision sport.
Do we give the Eagles?
I think we all know
West Coast a massive tick of approval for the way they've
looked after him really well, as most clubs do in these circumstances. But the Eagles have done a terrific job with him. They've nursed him along, and he's probably at the point now where he can get on with the rest of his life.
I reckon you could have sat Trevor Nisbet down 2 years ago, or whenever it was, they decided to try and re-rookie him and keep him on the list and say, Trev, do you think that Dan Venables will play footy again?
And he would have said no.
He would have said no. Mm. So I think off the back of that, again, most clubs would have done it. I'm not sure what sort of insurance compensation that Dan will receive, but he's only 22 years of age, played 21 games of footy.
One of them's a premiership, though. It's very sad that it's extraordinary. We haven't seen enough of him, and it's cut short. But he's got a flag in there. It's a lot of players would love to have.
Absolutely.
So.
But, yeah, I think it's the club deserves credit. And the AFL, obviously, the decision, I think, was quite predictable, given if you've listened to the interview that he gave to the club website a few weeks ago now, he still gets migraines, still has issues with his well-being.
With his study. Still struggling with his study.
So it's a massive brain injury in footy terms, yeah.
No, well done to West Coast, not just in the fact that they stood by him, but in the way they stood by him.
Yep, I agree.
They left him involved in as much of their program as they could, so he felt a part of the club as much as he could. There was never any talk of them ending contracts and that sort of thing. Basically, they knew and they committed, I think, both publicly and privately, to getting him through to a point where he could walk away comfortable with the decision. And I think they've done that, and I think that's they deserve a lot of credit for that.
Yep. Yep, I'm still not sure we're any closer to that awkward question of players going back with the flight because it's...
Well, I don't think it's going to be an overnight switch. I think it's going to have to be down to coaching and education. It's going to take time to get our heads around this, if you pardon the pun, unintended totally. But
the one that, think back quarters, and this will be one near and dear to you, the Jordan Lewis... Jared Harbrow collision, which was back, about 2005?
When they're twitching, I get really worried. It just looks awful, and it's obviously not ideal for the player.
Yeah,
that was horrible that night. Harbrow,
I was watching that with my father, and we thought Jordan Lewis might die
that
night. The collision was so, so horrible. And the fact that he was able to get up and obviously go on to have a great career, you know, kudos to him. And he's he was always a pretty tough player. But jeepers, I'm not sure I want to see players put that in that position anymore. And you know the Venables one. Venables is running back into a marking contest with two ruckmen coming the other way.
Mm.
So there was Tim Smith, the Melbourne player, and Nathan Vardy, the West Coast player. He's hit the hip of Tim Smith in the air and then hit the ground head first. And it's just,
I think given the speed of our game, given the 360 nature of it, given the courage of the players, it's probably surprising there's not more of these incidents.
But also in the media we say the courageous Glenn Quatermain, the fearless Mark Duffield.
Thanks,
when I'm commentating with Carl Langdon, and I love Carl, and he's been out there and played at the highest level I haven't, but he'll say, you know, you're standing under the footy and hear the footsteps, oh, he's done the turtle.
Yeah.
In other words, yeah. He shirked the issue.
Well, that's what I'm talking about. We're going to have to re-educate ourselves. And I'm the same, mate. I've been, over the years, haven't liked to see that. But we're going to be a big part of this process, I think, the media.
Yeah, I think we are. There needs to be intelligent conversation about it. And it may be that we don't bag players who do it, but I think there should be no bagging of players that don't do it. And I think there should be intelligent rhetoric.
Well, there's too much information now on head trauma for us not to. Way too much.
All right. So let's move on. Let's see if we can tip a couple more winners. Hawthorne versus Collingwood.
By the way, boys, do you want a certain tip this weekend? Because I'm picking the Hawks on form and on the month swan song for Clarko. I think we're going to give a bit of a yelp over the last month of the season. So I'm picking the Hawks. So my advice is get on the Pies.
Can I just ask, have any of us picked 9 this year?
I have. If you can include the draw.
Okay, so you've gone the closest. I think
I picked 8 once. I don't know how many I picked last week. I don't want to know. I'm not even looking at the result. When I look at the tipping page in the West lift out tomorrow, I don't think I'm going to like
it. The second page or the first page?
I think we've also give ourselves a bit of an out. Well, all tipsters this year, because of the changing nature of the fixtures every week and because clubs are flying here, there and everywhere in the space of 24 hours.
It is tricky.
It is really hard to pick a winner because we're doing it days out.
Yeah, that and we're shit at it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah. All right. Hawthorne $1.90.
A little agricultural for us, isn't it?
Hawthorne $1.94 with Tab Touch. Collingwood $1.90.
Down in Tassie too.
So you're tipping the Hawkers?
I don't think the Pies have ever played there. They might have played in Hobart.
They get lost going to Marvel Stadium. How are they going to find their way to Launceston?
We might have to change a few street signs, point them in the other direction, get them a bit more lost.
I've no idea who to tip in this game. I mean, Hawthorne last week, if they turn up like they did against Brisbane, you'd think, but there is unreliable. Collingwood,
Collingwood did beat West Coast by 45 points last week.
They were witches' hats, though, weren't they?
Oh,
I'm not that impressed with Collingwood. So,
maybe Brisbane were too.
Yeah, possibly. No, okay, I'll tip Hawthorn then. I seriously, this is
a big mistake, Skeets.
You tipped Collingwood, have you?
No, I picked Hawthorn.
Oh, okay.
Well, just to add spice to it all and get myself further into the second page of the tipping column, I'm going to tip Collingwood. I like what I saw about them last week. I think they moved the ball well. That might be challenging if there's a bit of a breeze blowing down at Launceston.
A bit of a breeze blowing down at Launceston.
Yes, that's true.
You seen the flags down there?
So you think the Hawkers are going to give a yelp?
I do.
So how does that
Where have they been the rest of the season?
What if they go 4 from 4?
Life. Well, Sam Mitchell will be pretty happy about it.
Yeah,
he's coaching them next year.
I wonder if the people who support Clarko will be very happy about it.
Oh, well, I think there's people whose nose is out of joint full stop, so it's nothing you can do about it now. The damage is done.
Isn't it funny, though? Like last week, they beat the Brisbane Lions. It was a Clarko masterclass.
Oh, yeah.
They get rolled by 56 points a couple of weeks ago. Nothing.
There have been some Clarko masterclasses this year. I think the win over Melbourne was
City was pretty handy as well.
Yeah, it was, so. It's a strange season for Hawthorn.
All right, 2 for the Hawks, 1 for the Pies. Western Bulldogs versus Essendon, another game with top 8 implications. Doggies are $1.27 with Tab Touch. Essendon are $3.80. This is on Sunday afternoon.
Do you get the feeling Essendon's like the old Malvern Star you had when you were a kid? The old back tie's just got a bit of a slow puncture in it. It's just not going as well.
Going okay, though. I mean,
they're going okay.
Mate,
Doggies are flying, mate. I think the
they dog, are. Totally, but I think Essendon's like, kick 100 points last week.
As a supporter, I'd be buoyant about the future. I'm just not sure if the season's sort of petering out a little bit.
They got within a kick of Sydney, I think of fairly one of the better sides in the comp at the moment. No, I think they get a tick this year, Essendon.
Yeah, I agree.
So on the back of that,
through gritted teeth.
I'm tipping the Western Bulldogs here. I'm not sure they've ever won a minor premiership before the Bulldogs. They might have. But
I tell you what doesn't get a tick is their arithmetic. Didn't add up their interchanges.
Oh, right. No. Yeah.
Ended up with 3 valuable players on the bench in the last 5 minutes and couldn't make the change.
Did that happen with Sarong late in the game at Freo? Did I see that?
No, he couldn't get on because the ball was over the other side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's most frustrating. You see that often, don't you?
Yep.
In key moments. We saw it in the Eagles grand final, the last premiership. Who was it that couldn't get on?
I think they're trying to get Liam Ryan off point and a couple of others as well. But Simo in the end said, well, we had to go with what we had. He looked like a genius, of course, but it wasn't his intention. Bulldogs to win that game, by the way. And as Bulldogs. I said, to win their first minor premiership, I think it will be. So that if that's the case, they're not going to let a game like this slip. Top two is what they want, yep. like Geelong.
They'll finish top two.
The major danger, of course, is Quarters has missed a consistency, Jake Stringer. Well,
he's got his contract stuff.
Just stacking game on game now, Quarters.
He's got his – yeah, we'll see. We'll see what happens next year, mate. I'm not buying into the package, mate.
All right, you're not buying the package. No. Okay, moving right along. Fremantle versus Brisbane, Optus Stadium, Sunday afternoon. Brisbane $1.50, Fremantle $2.50. Now, Brisbane doesn't have a lot of form to recommend them.
No, they certainly don't.
Fremantle, despite their win last week, still doesn't have a lot of manpower to recommend them. Who are we going for?
Oh, I'm going for Brisbane with great anxiety, I'll add.
I'm the same. I mean, Lachie Neale, is he fit? Not sure. What's happened to them? Well, what has happened to the Lions?
This isn't the sole reason, but Hipwood's,
yeah, but we've talked
Hipwood's
about that.
Exit from the forward line, that forward line has been dysfunctional since. But they're not getting the ball in there.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. So that's what I saw against Hawthorn last week wasn't Eric Hipwood. That was an element. But there's something missing, boys. I'm not sure Chris Fagan can put his finger on it either.
Well, we're asking the same question about West Coast, aren't we? And is there just the possibility that even when you get the names back out there, if they haven't had the right preparation and the right campaign, it's all a bit of a myth. The name is a myth. I strongly suspect that's a factor in what we're seeing from West Coast. And I wonder whether, Jared Berry's had a terrible year. He got mown down about five times, I reckon, against Hawthorn last week. He was a key player in their preliminary final effort last year. I think he might have nearly been their best player in their qualifying win over Geelong. So he's a key player. Neil's had a few, niggles, missed a few games. We're worried about the shoulder. There was a significant ankle there at one stage. Obviously, they've lost Hipwood. Obviously, they've lost Darcy Gardner. Do you just get to a point where no matter how you regarded them in the preseason, where there's too much has gone wrong? And the other thing too, there is this continued default setting that AFL clubs have where if they have a star, they're happier to put the star out there half fit than play a fully fit other player, which I think is the most flawed thinking we have in our game.
It must be very tempting though, because you know what they can produce, you know what they've delivered over consistently as well.
Yeah, it's interesting because in a final, for instance, you have a player that's
back your champions.
80%, and he says, look, I can do a job for you. You tend to go down that path.
Of course you do.
More so than in a home and away match where you think you probably do give the star, look, no, we're going to give you a spell, get you right. But yeah, Brisbane, their pre-season, talk about that, I'm talking in-season, that they looked 2 months ago like top two, definitely top four. Yeah, it's just gone pear-shaped and maybe manpower's part of that. I'm tipping Brisbane here, but it's got the same feel as the Richmond game, but where can the young Dockers back it up and do it again?
That's the key.
Yeah, and look, I'm happy to be proven wrong. Brisbane Lions, though, they still, in my mind, they've got a bit to prove about whether they can be a team in September.
If Pierce finds his way back, it will be a very helpful to Freo's cause as well, which we believe he may.
Yeah, I think he'll probably play. Obviously, Bailey Banfield will miss with concussion. I think Sam Switkowski's still a week away with hamstring issues. Interestingly, they're keeping the door open for Brennan Cox to return at some point this year. I would think they would probably have to make finals for Brennan Cox to play.
Yeah, that's what I've heard, that if they play finals, then that's a bonus in that respect. But at least it gives him something to work towards, and obviously the lure of finals for the whole club is keeping them really bubbly. And that's, you're in the eight. It's yours to lose from here on in. So a game against the Lions, the Derby, St Kilda, got to win two of those, bear in mind, Duff. So
I think they might have to win three.
You think three?
I think so. With their percentage, I think if any of those teams below them with a superior percentage makes a run, and there are a couple that have a better percentage than them, I think Fremantle's going
to
need.
No one seems to want.
Well, the other thing is,
no one seems to want it.
Exactly.
Do they?
I don't think teams below them are able to string together the three wins in a row. So
what about Carlton? Carlton's interesting. Is Carlton's draw the one that may enable them to suddenly climb?
No.
Go and say yes, Scoot.
No,
say
they
yes,
can't. They don't tell me. If they make the eight, given what they've dished up for most of this year,
What if they make the eight and have a bit of a run?
Oh, they won't have
It'll
a run.
It'll just be their way of tormenting you all the way into September, Skeet, I reckon.
Oh, dear.
You watch the bandwagon tipping, if they do.
I'm tipping Brisbane, but I'm much the same as you guys. I think I was – you know what? I thought that was Fremantle's best win of the season last week because the game, even though it was messy, the game was played at a really high intensity and their kids bought in and stood up. And that, to me, is what you want to see. And,
yeah, Richmond's not the team it was, but the way they responded when Richmond started to run over the top of them and got a couple of goals ahead and you thought, oh, here we go. This is they've won this. I thought it was really impressive for them to stand up again.
And the other thing is that if I was picking their top three players last week, I would have gone Brayshaw, Cherry, Young.
Which is the present the future.
And
the future.
I might have squeezed Ryan in there at the bottom end, but Young was very impressive.
Ryan and Darcy probably after them. So
how good's their back line looking for the next 5 years?
And they've got some to come back as well, so I agree.
They're probably one more forward and I reckon one more explosive mid.
Maybe give them a couple of extra mids. I'm just saying that keep building your midfield as the Dogs have done and every good team does. Just have as many good mids as possible. But you're right, they need that forward presence to give Tabana a chop out.
All right, so we're all on the Lions, albeit with some trepidation. West Coast versus Melbourne is on Monday because of quarantine requirements at Optus Stadium. West Coast are $2.85, boys, with Tab Touch. Not often West Coast is at $2.85.
No, I can't remember a home game they've been that much. I think they had a start of the Derby as outsiders earlier this year. But against an interstate side, that is, and considering they're inside the eight, that's an extraordinary discrepancy.
Melbourne $1.43. Interesting. Jack Viney gets 2 weeks for pushing his elbow into someone's throat. Buddy Franklin gets off for hitting somebody with his elbow.
I'm quite comfortable with the 2 weeks.
I'm more than happy
with
2 weeks.
He should have actually got more.
Might have been unders.
Yeah, I think it was unders. I think it was a disgusting. From a player I admire, that was a disgusting.
It's out of character. I know he's a hard nut and he loves getting in and causing.
So what
some
precipitated that?
No idea.
Out of character, is he just grumpy?
All I know is the evidence presented by Melbourne at the tribunal
wasn't great.
It was like
what a mess.
It was like Frontline. It was like something out of Top of the Comedy Company.
Mike Moore.
Yes,
it's the vibe. It's just the vibe of it.
That's a castle. That's okay.
It was. I know. That's exactly what I said.
And then the AFL Tribunal advocate listened to what I'm trying to think of the lawyer for Melbourne was.
Oh, well, I think it was Adrian Anderson.
It was Adrian Anderson, yes. And said, oh, but he has pleaded guilty. And, yeah. Oh, it's just terrible. And you're lucky. 2 weeks, you're right. He's pretty lucky.
I just didn't like the action. And it could have caused some serious, serious injury. I would not have liked that. I would have got up and belted him. I tell you.
I don't have any problem with Viney getting two. I just continue to laugh about Franklin.
Yeah, I know.
For actually hitting someone in the same region with the same part of his body.
Well, if it happens in a prelim, Duff, I'm tipping that he plays in the GF.
Oh, well, how about that?
Because it'll be outside the area of players. Barry Hall found out in 2005. You can get away. And Gary Ablett.
And he's right up there in the love meter for the AFL too. And Trent Cotchin is as well. He got off. He played in the grand final as a result. So.
Okay, so who are we tipping, boys? And
I got the games wrong. I'm tipping West Coast. And I don't know why, apart from the fact that it's at home. Melbourne, it's hard to know what to make of them last week against Gold Coast because they were witches' hats. But I'm tipping West Coast, but I've got the horrible feeling I've got the West Coast and Fremantle games ass about.
What do you reckon, Scott?
I've tipped Melbourne. I just think they're a top four side. Mm-hmm. I'm going trusting what they've done for the bulk of the year as a part. And you know what? You and I have spoken about this many times. Tipping against the Eagles at home, it's almost like your default position when you're not sure. So I'm going against my rule of thumb.
Yeah, me too. I think at some point you have to analyse the form and go, Melbourne should be beating West Coast. It doesn't matter whether they play this in Perth, in Melbourne, or in Widgiemooltha. Melbourne should be.
Widgiemooltha?
Yeah, Melbourne should be beating.
Never been there.
Where is it, by the way?
It's between Kalgoorlie and Norseman.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would have driven through it then.
You probably would have. Yeah. It was used to
why
be.
Why didn't I stop there for a cold one? Would I have?
Not much there.
Oh, no, there's a bit there. I believe the roadhouse there does the best chips ever.
Every roadhouse does the best chips ever.
And I believe the
chicken salt.
I believe the Widgiemooltha ones are very special.
What's the worst thing you've ever bought from a roadhouse?
Well,
or the worst food decision you've ever
made? My wife thinks it's the Chico roll, which I
love.
I love a Chico roll as well.
Never liked Chico rolls.
Never. No issue with Chico rolls. I think it just sums up the Australian culture. It's just
you know what the worst the worst thing I bought is a seafood pizza in Cooper Pedy.
No,
I did.
No, well, you just
seafood. Get further from the ocean.
You're just Cooper asking Pedy. For trouble, really. Aren't
yeah,
you?
I know. I spent the next 2 days worrying about.
I say the next
like
2 days.
Like I ate street food one day in Bangkok down this dirty alley. I spent the next 2 days. Wondering what was going to happen, but nothing did. I was fine.
It's amazing when you have food overseas when you're probably not in the state to be choosing wisely, is it?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not buying a seafood pizza in Cooper Pedy, oh, yeah. For sure.
It's not possibly the furthest decision. From the ocean you could ever get in the planet.
Seafood, even at like a
didn't
meat lovers.
Taste that fresh, to be honest.
Seafood pizza. Speaking of food, we've held up Joshy from his gnocchi, which, of course, he's a bit more cultured than us. He's just got his gnocchi.
Oh, he's got the gnocchi today.
Well, we better get on with it then. Okay, so we're all, well, two of us on Melbourne, one of us on West Coast, and we might be time for everybody's favourite segment.
In hello, Newman.
When you control the mail, you control information.
Josh's mailbag.
Yeah, just the gnocchi today. It's weird that packet pasta's a bit exotic for Skeet.
You like some cracked pepper on that, mate, and a little bit of
there
parmesan?
There is some already added. Okay. I'll get to it in a sec. Let's start with Cam in Sydney. So he's got a good one. We've addressed it before, but for those that are new to the show, he just wants to know, hey guys, Cam from Sydney, love the pod, really important question. What is a darkened shearer? We've explained before, but maybe you can explain again.
Darkened is a town, and my dad was a shearer. So it's pretty straightforward. Basically, borrowed money from the bank to buy his first 500 acres and then sure like hell to pay it off.
And you can shear yourself a bit?
Oh, I shear very badly, but my two brothers are very good shearers, and dad was a very good shearer, and his brother was a very good shearer as well. So, a lot of good shearers around Darkin.
Oh, I can't. Alan Shearer, that's all I can help you with. Very good footballer.
I've watched people shearing. That's all I can say.
Just some breaking news, guys. Hawks and Pies are believed to be moving to Tasmania in light of the COVID outbreak.
I thought it was in Tasmania.
Oh, okay. Well, it is.
That's
in Tasmania.
Yeah. So. That was expected, so we're all still right. Tipping Hawthorne.
Well, maybe it's official then. Okay. all right, let's move into the some of the questions for the week. Okay, let's start with Glenn Dowse. Now, Glenn's got a pretty long one, but I'll try and summarise a little bit. Everyone seems to be banging on about Adam Scherer leaving Freo and going to North Melbourne or Carlton or Richmond or whatever, plus Rory Lopp has already packed his bags for the warmth of the Gold Coast, or so we read. My draft ideas on both players are as follows. If Scherer is going, try and get him to Melbourne for Luke Jackson. If Lobb is going to the Gold Coast, try and get Jeremy Sharp back and some draft picks or a pick swap. Jackson will fill Lobb's role and align with the club's demographic profile. Sharp will be a gun mid with pace, not as good as Chera, yet could also fill a similar role. P.S. Please say hi to wife Kylie, the dolphin whisperer, who will be listening as she drives from work in Dunsborough. Hello Kylie.
Dolphin whisperer. I reckon Luke Jackson, they take that every day of the week.
Mate, I'm jumping over the table to get that one signed.
Oh, yeah.
And interestingly, I wonder whether there's a little bit of just putting it out there. Had Peter Bell on a radio show a couple of weeks ago, and we asked him about their list management requirements, and he said, we'd like a forward ruck.
Hello.
Which was interesting because they had
Rory Lobb.
Because they had Rory Lobb at the time. And obviously, if you wanted to describe Luke Jackson right now, he is right now.
Maybe they just want
ruck.
Another one. Maybe Rory's just a bit lonely.
So would you give Lobb, Chera to Melbourne and take Jackson in return?
Yes.
Yep. He's a good player.
I'm saying that's the type of.
So is Chera, by the way. But that what Jackson's going to give.
If you're Melbourne, do you take it?
No. No.
Jeez. No, Jackson, you don't give up. Unless you have to give up Jackson. I think you're holding on to him. You're all chips in.
You know, the other one that's – and I think if Chera goes, Fremantle should be honing in on a top six draft pick to get the deal done. But the other thing, depending on where Chera wanted to go, if – and I still maintain my best information is he's yet to make a decision either way. But the fact that he hasn't made a decision to stay, not great for Freo. But if he does decide to go – Angus Brayshaw may be gettable from Melbourne as well. Not entirely comfortable in the role he's playing, which is on the wing. He's more of an inside mid. Mm. So, you know, just don't rule that one out of the equation as well. Bloke who finished third in the Brownlow a few years back.
Very good. Food for thought for a lot of fans looking towards trade period. Let's head to Fred now. Since the inception of Ross Lyon's inspired pre-finals week off, the teams that have won qualifying finals and taken a week off have won just 4 of the 10 preliminary finals played. a 40% win percentage. It was previously 17 wins out of 18, which is 94%. Playing only one game in 27 days is clearly a disadvantage. Has it got to the stage where your team is better off losing the first round qualification final? Why hasn't the AFL used up the week off this year in COVID cases?
That's really
good point.
That's a really good point. And you almost locked them in, didn't you, when they had that qualifying final win in years gone by? I repeat my call for many years now. Move that by to the week before. Make the grand final a 2-week event.
So you get your fittest players out.
And both clubs are at the same, I guess, disadvantage or advantage. Let's call it an advantage if you've both got the 2 weeks and you can rest up and you can get all that nonsense out the way in the first week and really zone in on the game in the second week.
They do that with the Super Bowl as well.
Exactly.
And there's other examples of that. Look, the Western Bulldogs don't win that premiership without the bye, in my opinion.
I think it's too big a disadvantage.
To the top four sides.
Yes, I do.
I totally agree with that. And I think that if you've got yourself into a position top two, top four, you're entitled to have some benefits going forward. I'm not sure playing two games in, 3 weeks essentially.
But why are you? Like, finals, if you look up final in the dictionary, what does it mean? It doesn't mean, it's final unless you might get a second chance. Why don't we just go 8 down to 4 down to 2 and not have a – like?
Why do we have a bye? Tell me why we have a bye before the finals.
The answer is pretty simple. Ross Lyon started resting players, and the reason he rested players was because I think Fremantle were due to play someone on a Sunday and then they were likely to have to go to Geelong and play a final on a Saturday. And the round 23 was in Melbourne. And he didn't want to fly over, fly back, fly over again off a 6-day break.
They couldn't lose their spot, so that's why it happened. But I think there's so many advantages to be gained from having that 2-week.
Why not take the pre-finals buy out, but in order to avoid the Ross Lyon scenario, have a situation where you redo the draw after rounds, say, 18 or 19, and let's say West Coast and Fremantle are in a position where they're going to play finals and they're worried about travel requirements. If possible, schedule them either at home, maybe play a derby in round 23 so that neither of them has to travel. Or the other option might be to have them play teams who won't be in finals. Because clearly, if you're another team from the East Coast and you have to come to the West Coast to play a final and then go back and maybe go somewhere else, that's the same problem that Ross Lyon saw with Fremantle.
So you're saying get to round, say, 17 or 18 and then just have fixtures unattended to. Just
maybe.
I don't think the AFL will go down that path.
Well, we're doing it this year.
No, we're not. We aren't, because we keep the same fixtures are in place right through until round 23.
They've shuffled a couple, haven't they? They've shifted a couple around.
Back and from – that's because of unable to get the hosting.
Didn't they shift a couple of round 20s into round 19 or something like that?
Yeah, they have shifted a couple.
But the same teams are playing.
And also that is through necessity of COVID. I think you play it through to the preliminary final, then you have 2 weeks.
Well, the other option is play round 23, a Western Derby.
I don't mind that.
So they're not on the road.
And the same breath, you play a showdown in round 23. And you probably play a Q clash in round 23. I have no problem with that.
Yeah, so no one leaves their state, basically, in round 23.
Unless, of course, if the buy is in place, then it doesn't matter. If they're keeping the buy, then forget all those.
Get rid of it.
If it's staying in place.
The only other thing about the GF is you can have your more chance of having your best two teams available for the grand final, which is what you want to see.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much. We just had an email come straight over the wires. Don't have any sound effect for that, unfortunately. Is Russell Folk, who's, I believe he's FIFO potentially. Anyway, hi guys, regular listener to the podcast. Can I get the view on someone like Jake Riccardi, the GWS Giants second year player, and whether or not he'd be a good fit at Fremantle? I think you guys might remember last year.
I like it.
I love him.
I'm not sure.
What's happened to him?
Oh, look.
7 games in 2021.
Just a young forward. So they do take a while to develop.
You know what the problem was?
I love him.
We saw him firsthand at Optus Stadium against, I think, the Dockers, and he was terrific.
Yeah, but more than one game.
No, I was saying here. We get to see him live. And you think, wow, how come this kid's not playing?
I really like him. I think he's going to be a very special player.
Kicked full that day, yeah.
I think they'd be loath to get rid of him, to be honest. But yes, the price was right.
They did bring in Jesse Hogan, and Jesse Hogan is playing in front of him, and Harry Himmelberg is playing in front. Now, Harry's a good player.
Mm.
not a super player. You would have thought that if he was as good as the correspondent thinks, that he might have one, they might have not bothered bringing Jesse Hogan in, and two, he might have played a bit more this year than he has. Now, he may have, you know, sometimes they can get things like osteitis pubis and that sort of thing, and they're still playing, but they're really struggling. So
I think they could fit him in there if he's fit and in form. I'd like to see him.
Interesting question, because he sort of slipped off the radar for a lot of people, isn't it?
Yeah, good question.
He was a medical sub in round 19.
Medical sub in round 19, according to Josh. So he's on the cusp, but a cusp of a team that's probably not going to play finals. So that's interesting for those following his career.
Time for probably one or two more before the Boomers start.
Of course, let's go priorities. Are we a chance, by the way, Josh, giving you a basketball acumen?
No.
No.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
Are you kidding me?
All right. Let's have this discussion.
Okay, sorry. Justin, as they're probably down by 10 already, Justin Lopez, Ben Ainsworth, Ben King, Jack Lukosius, and Isaac Rankine, are they all out? They are all out of contract next year. How many of those four stay at the club?
That's a good question, and that's probably why I think Stuart Dew is in a world of hurt. I just think that the way this is tracking, the AFL just can't sit there and let this play out for another season. So
it's why they'll have a red-hot crack at Clarko. I don't think Clarko will end up there, but they will have a almighty crack at getting.
What do you mean will have? They would already have been on the phone.
Yep.
And they would be going backwards and forwards with the offer climbing north.
So if I'm Lukosius and I'm Rankine and I'm thinking I'm wavering, I'm not sure what I'm going to do, hang on, Clarko is going to be your coach for the next 4 years, I'm staying.
Yep.
I want to see what builds.
It's going to help.
I have faith in that group. I think there's enough talent there to build something. I really do have faith in it.
Yeah, well, what are you saying?
But I think Duff made the really good call. We need to look at this soft cap issue. We need to get really good development and assistant coaches around whoever is the senior coach.
If you've got faith in this group, do you think they can win a flag in 5 years?
Yep.
Yeah, I'm not on that same path.
It's the geographical location bothers me, but
not one team has come out of there with success.
A flag is a big call, but
why?
The talent in that group says that they can be a top 16.
Why is a flag a big call when GWS made a grand final?
They're very hard to win.
Just GWS made a grand final.
Spot the Hawthorn bloke in the room.
It's always. I thought the pylon was finished with Hawthorn.
No, I just
GWS made a grand final a couple of years ago.
They did indeed.
Would you have picked that?
I thought their list was good.
Yeah, so they got as many A grade as Gold Coast. Unfortunately, most of them have.
Yeah, well, that's the issue. You're saying 5 years. They haven't ever been able to stop the exodus.
Yeah, but this might.
What might?
Well, getting a coach, the stature of Clarkson there.
Well, there's a lot of what ifs in there. A lot of what ifs. And look, I want them to succeed. Everyone does, because you don't want the money that's going down the drain on the Gold Coast to be for nothing. At least if they're winning matches and getting results, then at least you can see the fruits of the labour.
Imagine the party in Cavill Avenue if they did.
Just at my.
There'd be five people there.
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
A barbecue.
I'd be there. I'd be having fun. I love the Goldie.
Yeah, I love it. I love the Goldie, but I'm more of a other end, Broadbeach end.
I'm Burley. Burley, and of course, my family's there. Burley's so, free accommodation.
I've been there once, and that was in 1992, so I've got no idea what you're talking about. All right. And in fact, Skeet, I reckon you were there that night, were you? Did you come when there was a draw between Brisbane and West Coast in 1992?
I don't know if I was, but if I was with you, I've got no recollection, which is probably not a surprise to you.
I actually saw a bit. I saw a bit of footy at the old Carrara.
I went to the first ever game.
Yeah, it was what an experience that was with the Demountables.
It was Brisbane.
I interviewed Peter Knights outside of Demountable after the game, and he was just, you could see he was looking at me and he was saying,
extraordinary.
Like, can you believe these Demountables that were, you know, these are the warm-up benches.
I went to the lunch with my dad, who was reading news up there, and Christopher Scase gave the address at the lunch, and I'm sitting there thinking, this is 1988, and it was just.
It had a really nice, I enjoyed it. It was a carnival atmosphere.
It was like a rural show.
Did not feel like an AFL
game. No one gave a rat's about the result, but they just had a good time and then went back up to Brisbane or the Gold Coast.
Or to Jupiter's Casino afterwards for a couple of bets.
If that was in operation.
Yes, it was.
I did go to Jupiter's in 1992, didn't stay long, I didn't like it much. Mm. All right, there was a very funny story from Fremantle end-of-season trip to the Gold Coast.
It was.
It's PG. That's fine. So the player who will remain unnamed is a young player, so I won't mention him on the podcast. He was in a fairly sorry state at the end of a fairly long session, and some of the Fremantle senior players tapped him on the shoulder and said, look, we think maybe it would be in your best interest to get yourself back to the hotel, have a bit of a sleep. So he took himself back. Let's say he's in room 1234. So he goes up to room 1234. He couldn't get his key to work, but luckily there's a cleaner on the floor. So he gets the cleaner to let him into the room, passes out face down on the bed, wakes up several hours later. There's an angry man standing over him, basically with expletives deleted, demanding to know what he was doing in his room. And he, well, you know, I'm 1234, that's my room. He did have the right room number. He had the wrong hotel.
Duff, you know Melbourne Crown, there's two identical hotels.
Yes, there is, yes.
I've done it. Except thankfully, mercifully, I didn't get in the room. I tried to get my key and I went downstairs. They said, no, you're over there, the other hotel. I've done it.
Why does that not surprise me in the slightest? Quarters, that just sums you up in your yesteryear.
Might have just had a couple.
Good story though, Duff.
Thank you very much for joining us today. We've been brought to you by TabTouch. You can get closer to the AFL action with TabTouch. Please gamble responsibly. Please call Gambler's Help on 1800 858 858 if you run into any difficulties. Okay, the final word from Josh Gallup. Will the Boomers beat Team USA?
Yes, I'm all in. Well, financially I'm all in, and then also I think they've got the right team to beat them and the best defence in the Olympics.
Six all early doors, so we're at least going with them early. A bit of traffic to come, but we're still with them, Quarters.
Thank you very much for joining us today. We'll be back on Tuesday. We'll be running the ruler over the round with a fresh take on the West Coast Melbourne game on Monday and obviously the outcome of the Fremantle Brisbane game on Sunday.
If you're a fan of the podcast, why don't you send a message to Josh's mailbag? Have you figured out how to fix footy? Are you trying to settle a debate with a mate? Or maybe you just want two of Australia's most experienced footy journalists to turn their attention to an AFL issue of the week. Send to the mailbag at josh.garlep, that's G-A-R-L-E-P-P, at wanews.com.au. And also remember to like, subscribe, and of course, tell your mates so we can make this as big and as good as possible. Thanks for listening.
This has been the Duff and Quarters podcast on the game.
You know who? It's unbelievable.